What's up, CUSA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, joined with co-host Josh Jonas this week, who was host extraordinaire for me last week, much appreciating him and Dane for taking over for me while I was at home with sick kids. If you saw or if you listened to the very first episode, I'm talking about like week zero of the podcast, I said there would definitely be a chance at some point that I would not be able to be on the show because I have two small children and one of them would be sick. And lo and behold, it happened for last week. So, Josh, thanks for filling in for me. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad that you're back because it was terrible. And I'm sorry to all of y'all who watched it.
It was not terrible.
I know. No, I'm being hard on myself. But it was, no one should have to listen to themselves talk this long without much interruption. And
it is.
I don't know, something about being in like the middle seat where, you know, I like this setup where we're able to kind of talk to each other. And now I'm just staring, you know, right into the camera.
Yeah, that is tough. That is tough. You definitely took one for the team. But we have a lot to talk about today. But before we get into that, I just want to remind you, if you are watching us right now, you've obviously found us on YouTube. Thank you so much for watching. But if you're an audio only type of person, you want to listen to the podcast and not see our beautiful faces, you still can do that. We will be on Apple, on Spotify, and on Amazon Music. So you can find the podcast there. And if you're interested, which you totally should, follow us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod. We are on X and Instagram. And leave a review for the show if you're enjoying it. Comment on YouTube. Let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you guys. So we're having fun with it. We hope you're having fun with it too. All right. Lots of things to get into. I know a lot of you are watching wanting to know about football and the scenarios that are coming down to the last minute here in the last few weeks of the season. But before we get to that, we're going to talk a little cross country, some men's and women's basketball. And then Jessica Radford from our team is in El Paso for the 2024 volleyball championship. We will bring her in a little bit to tell us about what's going on down there in El Paso. Tell us a little bit about what she expects from the teams there at the CUSA championship. So let's go ahead and get rolling. Cross country, there is the Nationals this weekend, and we have two representatives that are going to be there from Conference USA.
Yeah, some great representation. Middle Tennessee's Alan Kiplagat and Liberty's Adeline Fairley will represent the league at the NCAA Nationals this Saturday. Women's race is at 9:20 a.m. Central, men's race at 10:10 a.m. Central. Both races will be on ESPNU, so definitely tune in if you're interested, just to see you know, where we place among the nation. I think that's really cool to have a couple people there to rep us.
Yeah. As we mentioned, Liberty obviously won both men's and women's races here for Conference USA. Middle Tennessee, always a cross country and track and field powerhouse. So those are our two representatives there this weekend. Like Josh said, that will be live on ESPNU, which is really awesome. But we are a couple weeks into the men's and women's basketball seasons now, and Conference USA has been doing some big things. We are the only non-power conference whose men's and women's programs have both won at least 65% of their games. So what's going on the court right now?
It is just setting up for, you know, the first tournament in Huntsville last year obviously had some excitement. I think this one should top that, you know, no doubt.
There's a lot more parity, I think.
Yes, yeah. And there's a lot of talent. The amount of people that I'm just like, oh yeah, they are going to be on an all-conference team, you know, come March. But, you know, starting with Jack State, we had Jaron Pierre Jr., who is our player of the week, the mid-major player of the week, and the national player, team of the week.
Yeah.
After he had 29 points per game against a couple Sunbelt foes last week. It was just really next man up for the Gamecocks, right? Because last year it was Kiki Tandy. I mean, he led the league in scoring. He left, and now they were just like, all right, you know, back to the drawing board, get another dude out of the portal.
Yeah.
And he's just tearing it up so far this year. So he ranks fifth nationally in scoring right now, which is incredible for someone from our league to kind of be at the top of the mix there in the country. But La Tech is our remaining unbeaten team at 4-0 right now behind preseason player of the year, Daniel Bacho. Just doing Daniel Bacho things right
just
now.
Doing Daniel Bacho things, like 29 points in the first half or whatever it was in their game.
But you got two teams right behind them. Kennesaw State off to a 4-1 start in their first year in the league, and then Liberty also at 4-1. Then you got four more teams behind them that are 3-1.
Yeah.
So everyone is just winning games right now, it feels like. So that's really awesome. And like I said, talent all over the league. When you talk about Pierre Jr., Daniel Bacho, Zach Cleveland at Liberty, the list goes on and on. Yeah. And so I just think it's awesome. Like the league is in a really good spot to pretend, you know, I'm not ready to say that we're a multi-bid league yet, but I think that that race for the conference championship, those games in Huntsville, Alabama are going to be electric.
Yeah. I'm excited for it for sure. And I think too, when you look at the women's side, there's just as much excitement on that side as well. I mean, obviously, Middle Tennessee, perennial powerhouse in this league. But WKU sits atop the standings right now with 3-0, but they haven't played as many games. So, and Middle Tennessee, Louisiana Tech, both incredible women's programs, historically are at 4-1. And Middle, though, has three of the league's top 10 scorers.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about another team that just continues to retool, you know, go to the portal, whatever it may be. Obviously, the Lady Raiders have done that again.
Yep.
And they are just poised for potentially another Conference USA title and hopefully another NCAA tournament victory.
Yeah. Coach Insel has that team firing on all cylinders as usual. And I mean, if you've been on Twitter or X, whatever it is, a lot in the last couple of weeks, the Women's March Madness social account actually did a site visit there in Murfreesboro, spent like a whole week or something like that with the team. They've been putting out a lot of really cool content, kind of ingrained themselves in there at MTSU. So that's been some really cool stuff to watch, and it's good national publicity for that team, and they deserve it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I think, yeah, with the amount of programs at the mid-major level on the women's side that, you know, are very similar to Middle Tennessee, where year in, year out, they're in the race, they're winning titles, they're, you know, winning NCAA tournament games and challenging LSU. I mean, they were in that game against LSU in the second round last year. So yeah, I think that's awesome to shine a little light on them and what, you know, some of the things that they're doing well, and just to give, you know, a little insight into the personality a lot of these girls have.
Yep.
They like to have fun, that's for sure.
Yes.
And then, you know, you look at some of the other talent on the women's side. New Mexico State has a top five player nationally in scoring in Molly Kaser and rebounding in Fanta Gassama. So again, there's just a lot of talent, a lot of great, you know, great wins, great games going on in Conference USA. Really excited to see what the rest of the non-conference slate holds. And then obviously come January when we start play, that's where the fun begins.
I'm excited for January. This is getting me pumped up for Conference USA play in men's and women's basketball. Hoop season is going to be fun this year for sure. But right now, we have a volleyball championship happening this weekend, and so we want to bring in Jessica Radford from our office, our Associate Director of Communications. She's joining us from El Paso, Texas, to talk a little bit of CUSA volleyball. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Well, first question, I guess, would be how did the end of the season kind of turn out for our Conference USA teams? We've talked a lot about WKU, a lot about UTEP, but there were a lot of teams there in the middle of the pack as well that kind of solidified their place when it came to season seeding. But how did the end of the season turn out, and what are you expecting? Maybe a little let's see, a prediction maybe for championship weekend. What are you expecting out of this weekend?
Of course, in terms of seeding, of course, it came down to the last game. That New Mexico State Middle Tennessee game was very a determining factor of our number 3 seed through number 5 seed. They obviously split, so New Mexico State was able to go up to the number 3 seed. Kennesaw was number 4 just because they lost the 2 games to UTEP that same weekend. And then Middle Tennessee ended up being number 5 because they lost to New Mexico State during that series. But I don't want you to think that the seeding matters. I don't think seeding matters in this tournament at all, because if you look at the regular season, you had FIU be the only team that took WKU to 5 sets in both of their matches during the regular season. So that first game tomorrow will be very, very interesting. New Mexico State split with Middle Tennessee. They split with Kennesaw State. They split with Sam Houston. So it's
showing peace.
So it'll be very, very interesting this week just to see how teams come out, how teams play. I'm very, very excited. It'll be some really good matches tomorrow. As far as a prediction, I mean, WKU winning 92 straight conference matches, that's very indicative to their program and what Travis Hudson has, you know, set them up for success with. But UTEP has been looking very, very good. They've, you know, broken a record for their most conference wins in a season for their school. And Kennesaw State came in the league and I think surprised and shocked a lot of people. So I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, make it or even get close to even making it to the championship round. But I don't want to, not to say anything about the other teams. WKU, UTEP, five set match, I'm thinking on Sunday for sure.
Well, and I imagine that in the two matches they played in the regular season were there in El Paso. And I imagine that UTEP would go into that potential matchup thinking like, all right, I understand it now, right? Yeah. Like, you know, they got, you know, they saw what they needed to see from WKU. You know, maybe now potentially they kind of have an edge there. Obviously, we've talked a lot leading up to this championship with them being at home, kind of having that edge throughout the tournament. And I think even for someone like New Mexico State, when you're looking for an edge here, I mean, New Mexico State's just 50 minutes up the road. So I would expect a lot of their fans and, you know, players' families to travel down for that game, really support the Aggies as well.
Yep.
Oh, this, I think, packed out gym. Sorry, not to cut you.
It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be packed out. Well, I mean, if you look at what they did in the NIVC last year when UTEP was hosting all those games, those games were packed, like completely packed out. And so I expect that as well. I work on the marketing side of things here at Conference USA. I've already had UTEP being like, can we bring our cheerleaders? Can we do this? Can we do that? Yeah. And it's going to be a really fun atmosphere, I think. I do agree with you. I think a far set match between UTEP and WKU is probably what's coming for us this weekend. But like you said, it can be anybody, right? But tell us a little bit maybe about the superlative winners that we had announced yesterday on the volleyball side. Obviously, Travis Hudson, coach of the year again.
I don't know how many times he's won it now. You finally do off the top. How many?
Seven.
Yeah, that's a lot. So what are our other superlatives looking like? And what can we expect out of them this weekend?
Yes, we have our Alyssa Kavanaugh player of the year, Kaylee Cox. She was the preseason player of the year when we first started this season. So, of course, she got that nod at play of the year. She's just been doing it all for WKU, you know, scoring for kills, passing, getting aces, blocking wise. So just the very front row, she has a very big presence up there. But then, of course, you just have their other, like, all first team and Izzy, Vandy Wheel. She's been a blocking powerhouse for them. Kennedy Coley has been putting hits down for them. And those two were all first team, all conference. And then setter of the year, Callie Bauer. I was here during her freshman season. I thought she was very, very good. So she's just been keeping on that track. What is she? I think she's maybe fifth in the nation total assists right now, or assists.
Wow.
So nationally wise, she has been putting up some very, very big numbers week after week for WKU. So there's no surprise there that she had setter of the year. Defensive player of the year, Kaya Weaver from UTEP. She started off this season. She had two defensive player of the week nods at the beginning of the season, and she hasn't stopped there. And one game, she had 12 blocks in one game, and that was like a career high for her. And she's just offensively very, very good for UTEP as well. I think she leads the league in hitting percentage. She's very efficient, very effective. So UTEP would definitely lean on her for offensive-wise and defensive-wise. And even on the service line, she gets aces too. So definitely will be a big part in UTEP's success this weekend. Freshman of the year, we had Andy Spees. She gets it done across the stat line as well for me.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be a freshman, I can't wait to like see her career just grow as she gets older, because if you're doing everything that you're doing now, oh, I would hate to see it when you're like, well, you're a senior, right? She gets kills. She's their setter. So she's obviously, you know, running that offense and putting up very good sets so her hitters can make those kills. She passes, she serves, she blocks. So it's just like, not even a triple threat at that, just like a five-time threat. I don't even know which.
Yeah.
But she gets it done on all sides of the stat lines. And then our libero of the year was Hannah Baker from Sam Houston, and she's been very, very good in just that backcourt and getting up digs. I think she leads them. Sam Houston is 19th in the country in digs per set or
overall
digs. So she's been leading that for them as well.
I love listening to you talk volleyball, Jess.
I was about to say, for those of you that... Yeah, I was going to say, for those of you who don't know, you probably think, oh man, Jess is just like rattling this off. She sounds like a natural. Of course, that's because she was a college volleyball player at Norfolk State. So she knows what she's talking about, for sure.
Well, I know that you are going to have a lot of fun watching a lot of volleyball this weekend. If you at home want to watch the volleyball championship, all of our games will be on ESPN+. Everything is in mountain time, okay, because they are in El Paso. So go to our website, find our Championship Central page for volleyball. All of your watch links and times will be there, but just double check because everything is in mountain time. Well, Jessica, That's all we have on volleyball. We really appreciate you joining us today, telling us all about the championship this weekend. Good luck to you and the El Paso crew there. Shout out to Dane Lewis. He's there. He's our producer. But we have Kensley Walters is filling in with us on the computer over there today. So we just appreciate the all hands on deck situation. And y'all have some fun.
Thank you.
And eat some good food.
Yes. Go eat some tacos for me. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. We'll grow up for you guys.
Thanks. All right. See you later.
Bye.
Awesome. Jess, seriously, like listening to her talk volleyball is the best.
Oh, yeah.
When beach volleyball rolls around in April, too, she'll be right back on it. So it's just so much fun to hear someone talk about something she's so passionate about. All right, everybody. Here's what I feel like most of you probably have been in for. We're going to talk some football. We're going to talk about this past weekend's games first. We're going to recap those because it is important to know what happened last weekend in order to talk about what's happening in the next two weekends. So the biggest game of the weekend, I think, for most people was WKU's loss to Louisiana Tech. It was gritty. It was interesting. I was not totally zoned in on that game the entire time, and I kept looking at the score being like, what is happening?
It was kind of one of those ones where you were like, you're surprised but you're not surprised.
Yes,
like, I could see it was one of those things where I saw two completely different outcomes coming out of this game. This certainly, you know, was one of them. I don't know if I would have said it was the most likely outcome, but again, you know, a little surprised, yeah, I don't know. But I will say, like, before we dive into this, our four league wins this past week came by an average of less than 4 points. Every single one of these games was exciting, jam-packed. It had carried a ton of weight.
Yeah,
get to, you know, talking about scenarios going into these final two weeks.
Oh, no, Group of Five guys tweeted on Saturday, like, a score or a screenshot of all of our scores from the weekend and was like, what the heck is in the CUSA water today? It was crazy.
It's honestly like a powder keg. So these final 2 weeks, if this is what's been leading up to it, I don't want to know what's coming next.
When we talk about scenarios, thank you, Scott Swigen from WKU, for making this beautiful thing for us. But there are 16, technically, scenarios for who could host, who could be in the championship, all of these different things, and they all come down to the final 2 weekends. So we're excited to talk about that. But so let's talk a little bit about this Louisiana Tech WKU game. Field goals.
Yeah.
All they needed.
I mean, yeah. Don't you love a game when it comes down to one guy that's on the field for probably the least amount of time as possible?
But he has the greatest name. So it was nice to hear.
Buck Buchanan. And it always trips me because I come from the Southland Conference, and in the FCS, the Defensive Player of the Year award is called the Buck Buchanan Award, named after a former football player that no relation, nothing. And so it's just weird because I'm like, that this is not, you know, when you search his name, this Buck Buchanan is probably not the first one that's coming up when on the Google search. But La Tech's Buck finished 4 for 5 on field goals for the day, gave La Tech all it needed to come away with a 12-7 victory. And hey, you know what? Sometimes if you can't get the offense going, I mean, we talked about leading into this game, WKU's red zone defense is among, I think they were second or third, and now they're third in the nation.
Yeah.
But it is tough to score when the field gets short on the tops. But La Tech, again, they got what they needed.
Yep.
So again, scoring wise, Buck Buchanan took care of them on that side, but the Bulldog defense limited the tops to 7 points and 215 yards of total offense. Their lowest of the season since their season opening loss to Alabama. And honestly, I think, you know, the defense was crucial in this game, limiting Caden Belkamp. But I think what it really came down to was this run game for La Tech.
Yeah.
It has not been something, you know, that has been big for them in previous games, but they got it working in this one.
Yeah. And that and time of possession was absolutely what won this game for Louisiana Tech. So they had nearly 40 minutes of possession in this game. When you can't get the ball for WKU's offense, you can't score the ball. So it was so interesting just to watch. We've said it all season. Louisiana Tech's defense is very, very good. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the run game got going for Louisiana Tech. Just some stats here. Second highest rushing performance of the season. Amani Givens, 17 carries for a season high, 103 yards. They got it going this weekend when it counted for them. Obviously, not in the running there for the Conference USA championship necessarily, but they definitely affected how things are going to turn out in these next few weeks.
So. Yeah. And I think for them, I mean, the Bulldogs are still playing for something.
Yeah.
They're sitting at 4-6 right now with two games left against Arkansas, who's been kind of a subpar SEC team. And we've already seen La Tech can compete against power.
Yeah. You saw what they did against NC State. Yeah. I mean, they were in that game for
and that was a much different La Tech team. I think that was earlier in the year. They were still getting some of the new guys on the team working. Evan Bullock hadn't even got on the field in that game.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows what would have been the difference if he was playing in that game. But yeah, I mean, the Bulldogs are right. You know, we'll kind of talk more about them, you know, their outlook for the rest of the year later on. But, you know, they said, hey, we're not done yet.
Yep.
We might give you all a fifth bowl team. But
hey, let's do it. Come on, Bulldogs. Let's do it.
But, you know, I talked about the WKU red zone defense. And while they did keep them out of the end zone, unfortunately, La Tech still finished 3-for-3 in the red zone with three short field goals. The only two teams to go 3-for-3 in the red zone against WKU this year, Boston College and Louisiana Tech.
Wow.
Not bad company, yeah. Louisiana Tech. In that
seriously, part. Seriously. I mean, you listen to Sonny Cumbie talk about this team. He's like, we don't have necessarily like one guy that is really making everything happen. There's several people on that team. They're, I think he called it just an unconventional roster, but they're great teammates. They're all working together, and they have been doing incredible things down the final stretch of the season. Excited to see what some of these guys that are coming back next year are going to do. This is definitely a good outlook for them going forward. Three other games happened on Saturday this past weekend. All of them came down to the wire. Two of them went into overtime. We can talk about let's talk about Liberty and UMass first, because that one was also quite interesting.
Yeah. Liberty, you know, this kind of felt like a little bit of a trap game going in, and it certainly kind of shaped out to be one. They fell behind early in the first half there, but stormed back in the second half, outscored UMass 21-8 to force overtime, ended up winning in overtime. They got bailed out by a couple of missed kicks at the end of regulation, and then a missed extra point in overtime that allowed them to win it with an extra point on the ensuing drive. But, you know, Liberty, just another week where, it's a win. Let's move on to the next one.
Yep.
But, you know, this is the second straight game with 300 yard, at least 300 yards on the ground for the Flames. So kind of channeling we knew was a strength for them. And I think the more that they embrace that, the more that these wins will come.
Yep. I agree with you. I think that I saw several Liberty fans on Twitter being like, we're not even going to talk about this one, but a win is a win. And the thing is that they're still in the running for the conference championship, which is where they want to be at this point in the season. So you take Saturday's game, you take the positives out of it, you try to capitalize on those going into the next weekend. So we'll talk about those games here in just a second. But another game came down to the wire, a 3-point win for Jacksonville State over FIU, which I'm not sure a ton of people had maybe going into the weekend. But FIU, we have seen they can score points. They can definitely score. And they did this weekend, putting 31 on the board against Jacksonville State. But again, that Jacksonville State run game kind of came out and won it for them again this weekend.
Yeah, and FIU and La Tech are very similar in the fact that their records are not indicative
no.
of how good these teams are by any means. And even more so for FIU now that they're, you know, they're out of the bowl game contention unless that, you know, they managed to find their way as a 5-7 team. But the amount of talent on these teams, the amount of games that they're in that just don't go their way, you know, it's just so tough. And FIU had a stretch there where they, you know, had lost three games by like an average of 5 points.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if one of those, two of those go a different way, we're talking, you know, their outlook obviously looks a lot different going down the stretch. But, you know, Jacksonville State, they kind of got matched up with another one of our better defenses and said, yep, we're good. No, we're just going to keep trucking along, doing our thing, put up 34 points. Like you said, the run game was clicking again, and it was Trey Stewart, of course.
Of course it was, yes.
A 56-yard touchdown that at the beginning of the play probably should have been like a half-yard gain. Mm-hmm. He was stopped there right as he got into the gap, and then it's just one missed tackle. And if you miss a tackle on Trey Stewart, you're watching him.
He's gone.
Yeah. You're watching him 20 yards down the field. And this one was a 56-yarder on 4th-and-1. I mean, that again, that potentially could have been a fourth down stop for FIU ends up being the game-winning touchdown in this one. Trey Stewart finishes with 22 carries for 136 yards and two touchdowns. You know, we kind of talked about Quinn Cooley with Liberty, Trey Stewart for Jacksonville State, probably our first conference all-team, first team all-conference
running back
right now. Mm-hmm. I think I can probably safely call that. You know, nominations just opened today. But Jack State, the one stat that really jumped out to me in this one, they were 6 for 6 on rushes with at least 2 yards to go. So in those short yarded situations that resulted in first downs. And again, we talk a lot with Jack State about execution. And that is just Rich Rod, to a T, they will execute in these, you know, just these small plays that in the moment don't feel like a big one. But again, the 4th and 1 on that Trey Stewart touchdown run, you know, that could have just been a 2 yard gain to get a first down. No, it's a 56 yard gain for a game winning touchdown. Yeah. So the Gamecocks just cannot be stopped. I think that, you know, it's another week where that's all we're left saying about them.
Yeah, they've definitely shown out in conference play for sure. I mean, but you talk about that stat, which is, I love when communications people find these obscure stats. They're the best. But when you talk about stuff like that, that's what wins football games. You come down to the little things that people don't necessarily, you know, people see the big 56 yard touchdowns or, you know, the 56 yard field goals or the kick returns for touchdowns that change a game. But it's these little things, not getting penalties, getting your first downs when you only have just a little bit to go. It's disciplined football, and Rich Rod has been around long enough to know that that is what wins football games. And that's, I think, why Jacksonville State, a large reason that in their run game have been doing so well here in Conference USA. We will talk about this in a second, but they control everything sort of going into this upcoming weekend. So we'll talk more about that. All right, final game of the weekend. Sam Houston, Kennesaw State went into overtime. I think a lot of us in this office kind of saw this one coming after they let go of their coach, Kennesaw State did. We kind of thought that this could be a trap there for Sam Houston, and it almost was.
Yeah, I mean, Kennesaw State came out ready to, punch someone in the mouth and make a statement. I think the guys had a little extra fire under them, and they've been playing really, really well in the last 3 weeks leading into this game. Mm-hmm. Had Sam Houston on the ropes, that potentially could have been tragic for Sam Houston's championship game hopes.
Yeah.
But came down to a play where, you know, just another talented guy in the league that we talk about week in, week out. Hunter Watson plows into the end zone on a quarterback keeper for the game-winning score. And look, I asked, and Hunter Watson delivered. I said in our preview that we needed to see more from Hunter Watson if this team wanted championship game hopes, but champion hopes in general.
In general,
to win that game. You know, again, he delivered 15 carries for 62 yards and 2 touchdowns, including that game winner, and completed 69% of his passes for 179 yards, which, you know, the passing game isn't as big of a, you know, a piece of his game.
Right.
So for him to go out there and perform that well and still have, you know, 179 is still a very respectable number for the way that they run their offense.
Yep.
It was just another good win for the Bearcats.
He looked more like himself this weekend than he has in the last 2 weeks. I know, 3 weeks ago he went out with that injury, didn't play, then came back in, and we were like, he didn't have the fire that he had in the beginning of the season when they were winning all of these games. I definitely think he looked more like himself this week, and hopefully will look more like himself going forward if Sam Houston wants a chance in that championship game. But they came out with a win, which brings us to this upcoming weekend, November 23rd, I think it is. What is that? Yeah, the date this weekend. We have several games that are going to control what's happening in the championship game. So just to, I'm going to go over what this weekend's schedule looks like for our top 4 teams in the league. We will talk about everyone this week, even though UTEP, New Mexico State, Middle Tennessee, FIU, Kennesaw State, they do not have a mathematical chance to make it into the championship game. Those are our top 4 teams in the league, which we will talk most about. We will still preview those games briefly here later. But there's some big games this weekend, some big games next weekend. We have been talking about this since week 1 of the season, that it was going to come down to these final 2 weeks. And lo and behold, we are here. So
didn't think it would be to this level.
Stench, yeah. It is definitely worse than we thought it was going to be, but it makes for a very fun time. And obviously, other national outlets are paying attention to this because if you missed it, Jacksonville State, WKU, those teams got moved. Their game got moved next Saturday to ESPNU. So it was originally on ESPN Plus. They said, we need to pick this one up because we know it has championship implications. So that game's going to national television. But this upcoming weekend, we've got WKU at Liberty and Sam Houston at Jacksonville State. Two of the four, or all of the four teams that are playing for a spot in the title. And the next weekend, possibly, it turns out that we don't know who's playing. We may not know who's going to be in the championship game. So it'll come down to the final weekend of the season. Jacksonville State at WKU, Liberty at Sam Houston. So we have a lot to talk about. And I know you wrote this little quip down, so I'm going to let you say it. I'm not going to steal it from you.
Yeah, everyone's talking about the college football playoff, CFP. What about the CUP, the Conference USA playoff? Yeah, just then. Yeah. No, I just thought, you know, just thought that was kind of funny. But I mean, yeah, again, like, who would have thought that it would come down to essentially semifinal, quarterfinal kind of level games where, you know, all four of these teams control their own destiny. You know, they can all host. They can all be in the game. There's like eight different, you know, championship game matchup possibilities. 16 different, you know, seeding scenario. It's madness. It's pure madness. But everything is on the line in these final 2 weeks. Three of the, you know, they clash against two of the other three teams in these final 2 weeks. And yeah, I mean, you kind of laid out the schedule there. But we'll keep the scenarios kind of somewhat simple going into the penultimate week.
Yes.
Jack State is in the championship game with a win, regardless of all the other outcomes. They can clinch hosting duties with a win and a WKU loss at Liberty. And then if Jack State and WKU both win, our matchup is set. We have two teams, and then it just comes down to their matchup next Saturday on ESPNU to determine where we're going. So I think selfishly, I'll say on here, we would love for something just to help us out with a little bit of planning so that we're not booking flights on the night of November 30th and potentially like a $2,100 flight to Leesburg, Virginia on November 30th. Not saying that I wouldn't love to go to these places or saying who I do or don't want in the championship game. I'm just saying purely logistically, what would help us out the most.
Yes, but they call this podcast CUSA Insider. So we do like to give you a look into what we are dealing with here at the conference office. So right now we are planning a championship game at four different schools because at this point, any one of these four schools can still host the championship, which is crazy. Josh said we weren't going to go into the like nitty gritty of how that could happen. And we're not, because it would literally take us 5 hours.
And our brain.
And yes, and we probably mess something up because there's 16 scenarios. But here at the conference office, we're planning championships at four different sites right now. And we would love for it to shake out a little bit to where we can figure out something going into next week. But if it's anything like it was last weekend, we won't know anything.
Probably not. Probably not.
Weekend.
Because I'm saying it and putting it, yeah.
Yes.
Reverse prophesying.
And you say, this is so fun from a fan's perspective, I think, because it really does have a lot of weight on these final 4 weeks of the season. Don't get me wrong. Last year was fun. We had two teams that were new to Conference USA who played for the Conference USA championship. There was a lot of excitement around that. But this year, we literally don't know who is going to be in the championship 2 weeks from it. And that is a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But let's get into kind of talking about some of these upcoming games this Saturday. Sam Houston at Jacksonville State, 11 a.m. Central. Get up bright and early. Get ready for that one on CBS Sports Network. And then WKU Liberty, noon Central on ESPN Plus. But Jack State kind of started to allude to this point earlier, draws another one of the league's best defenses in Sam Houston. But again, in their last two games when they played Louisiana Tech and FIU, who are arguably, you know, towards the top of our defensive unit rankings, the Gamecocks have averaged 40 points and more than 400 yards of total offense. So they say, we don't care where you rank, whatever stat or, you know, points allowed and, you know, stops on third and fourth down, whatever, they're going to execute. They're going to dominate those games. So, I will say for Sam Houston, I expect them to open up the offense a little bit more. I was talking with someone the other day about just kind of like, what's going on, right? Because, we've had this stretch where I think I added it up earlier and they've scored 42 points in their last three games. So not what you want when you're in a championship then race to be averaging 14 points a game. But I think because they've been facing some of the league's top defenses, they didn't want to put, you know, playing a little more conservatively, didn't want to put themselves in any bad spots.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about field position or anything like that. So against this Jacksonville State defense that they can force mistakes, but when you talk about just yardage and points, that's not really their strength.
Right.
So I would expect Hunter Watson to go out there, kind of do his thing a little bit more, push the ball down the field a little bit more, and put up some more points.
Yeah, I think honestly, going into this weekend, what I'm looking at is the quarterback play. You've got Tyler Huff, very good with his legs, can run, and then Hunter Watson, similar, I would maybe not similar playing style, but they're more similar matches than they have had in the season so far. And so I think quarterback play is going to be huge in this game. Obviously, Jacksonville State run game is going to be big to watch, but against the same Houston defense, like you mentioned, that is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they've been among the best at, like I said, getting off the field. When you look at the amount of third down stops, fourth down stops, holding opponents to field goals in the red zone or turnovers on downs in the red zone, whatever it may be, that has been a strength for them. But again, Jacksonville State does not get off the field very often unless they're running through the end zone.
Exactly. And we told you already, Trey Stewart.
Yeah.
If you lose him, if you miss a tackle, y'all better watch out.
So. And Sam Houston's defense, I think, has leaned a lot on kind of that middle to, deep, defensive areas, I guess, and especially their secondary. But again, the passing game is not really as much a part of Jacksonville State's scheme. Mm-hmm. So can the front seven, that defensive line, can they kind of set the edge, help contain Trey Stewart? Because, again, if you let that offensive line open up even a sliver of a hole for Trey Stewart, it's trouble.
The other thing in this game, two coaches who are very experienced.
Mm-hmm.
They both know how to win, both of which have been in FCS playoff games. So Casey Keeler and Rich Rod gonna have their squads out there. I think this game is gonna be really good.
Yep.
I want a good game. I like exciting close games. Okay, I don't want necessarily one team to run away with it. So I think we're looking at a good one. Obviously, Jacksonville State at home gives them a little bit of an edge. They their fans show up and show out. We've been talking about their band a lot here in the office, 500 strong. So it's gonna be loud in there. And they're fighting for a lot. They're, like we were talking about, they're fighting for a spot with a win in the championship game. And then if WKU loses later in the day, they're actually fighting for hosting.
Yep.
So Jacksonville State has a lot on their shoulders going into this weekend. It should be a good one.
And those games are only separated by an hour. So
yeah.
You're really not going to know, not that you would anyway. I think a lot of the guys on game day, they're probably more, blinders on, focused on the game. But, if you're a fan watching, just to kind of, know, I mean, this is all going to be more or less simultaneous.
Right.
Their game will probably be finishing up around 2:30-ish. By that time, in the WKU Liberty game is probably in like the third quarter, so you really won't know until maybe a couple hours after your game, whether it's okay, are we in the game or are we hosting the game?
Right.
What it may be. So
definitely some interest going into these two. Like you mentioned, the next game that is on, we have an early slate this weekend generally for Conference USA football games. All of our games, I think, are done or started by 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we have the next game that's coming up. We can go ahead and talk about that Liberty and WKU game. I think that'll be the next, like he was saying, you'll be able to watch those simultaneously, kind of get a feel for what's going on. A Liberty loss puts Jacksonville State with a win as the host. Jacksonville State would be the host. A Liberty, or excuse me, I won't even know. I want to go into a Liberty win because no one wants to know about that one. It's crazy. But a WKU win and a Jacksonville State win put those two in the championship game. So that those are our two games, obviously, that we're really watching this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about what the Hilltoppers can do at the Flames this weekend to come out on top.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just going to be how do they bounce back from that Louisiana Tech game? I mean, obviously, that was a punch in the gut at home to lose like that in a, a gritty 12-7 game. I think that having watched the Liberty at UMass game, I mean, UMass's offense was just, it just felt like they were feasting on Liberty's defense and scoring on every, possession. So I think if WKU, has a little, hunger to, I mean, if Jacksonville State wins, I mean, they're playing for the, yeah, like you said, that other spot in the game. You know, I expect that offense to kind of go out and, you know, really put on a show against Liberty's defense. And then kind of on the flip side, you know, Liberty's a top 10 rushing offense in the country. And that was somewhere that WKU got burned on
right
in that Louisiana Tech game.
Yeah.
Against a team that the rushing game has not been as productive for the Bulldogs, and they still allowed 209 yards. Mm-hmm. So if you're, you know, in that Liberty running back room, you're kind of licking your chops saying, okay, well, if they ran for 209,
right,
we should be running for like 400.
Yeah, Quentin Cooley's gonna get out there and he is going to run the ball. So
yeah, but you know, looking at the last couple games for Liberty, you know, turnovers, they've been really good at keeping the ball and being very disciplined in that regard, but they've had multiple turnovers in each of their last two games. And that's somewhere where WKU, for the last few seasons, we talk about the takeaway tops.
Right.
They're among the, you know, the nation's leaders in, you know, total takeaways, defensive touchdowns. So even if they allow you, you know, that with that bend and break defense, even if they allow you to get down the field, at some point they will take the ball away from you. Mm-hmm. That is almost a guarantee. So if Liberty cannot take care of the football and you start losing possessions, when you get down to, you know, kind of separating some hairs here on, you know, who wins this game, that may be something that potentially is the storyline at the end of this one.
Yeah, I think this game is at Liberty, so tops are not at home, which, I mean, you look at the schedule this year, I don't know if necessarily the Liberty at home is like, I mean, it's not like it's a bad thing, but I think last year it was a huge thing for them. And so home field advantage. But I am really interested to see, again, how this one turns out. When you look at the stats, like what you were just talking about, WKU does seem like the team that is better on the stat sheet as far as their strengths versus Liberty's weaknesses. But like you said, if you just look at last week's game, how WKU defended the run, that could be a problem for them this week. But you know that Tyson Helton is in the locker room saying all of the same things that we are right now, and they are working on it. So that game, again, is on ESPN Plus at noon Central Time. If you want to catch up on that one, all of our final four games here that we've been talking about, including the ones next week. So three of the four of them are on national television, which is super awesome. So yeah, this is the lone one that is being streamed. But if you're a Conference USA fan out there, we know you all have ESPN Plus at this point. If you don't, what a great weekend to splurge and purchase.
Yeah, yeah, they're still offering, I don't know if they offer a trial, but yeah, this may be the time to do so.
Yeah, maybe a Black Friday deal. I don't know, ESPN, you got anything going on? But we did talk about earlier, we do have another couple of games happening on Saturday afternoon. This is the time of the year that some of those non-conference games creep in at the end of the season. So we've got two of those and then two conference games that afternoon. We can start. We got UTEP at Tennessee. Tennessee has been playing lights out. UTEP, I know they're going to try and go into Knoxville in the Neyland Stadium and get themselves a win, but that Tennessee team is darn good. And that's really hard for me to say as an Alabama alumni. So they're really good. I don't see the Miners taking that game. But you don't ever
can see this on YouTube. I mean, how white her knuckles are. Clemson, say.
I grew up in Tennessee also, on the entirely different side of the state in Memphis, but I grew up hating Tennessee. So this is very difficult for me to say. But
yeah, and the one thing I'll add too is, you know, just knowing that, you know, I don't want to get into the debate on, like, you know, what stadium is the best stadium in all college football, but I know that Neyland Stadium is at least in the top three.
It's pretty,
and that stadium is packed out. So. You know, I will say that I think this will be a really cool experience for a lot of UTEP's players to go in and play a game like this and see, you know, just gain that kind of experience. And I think especially when you think about Scotty Walden's roots to Austin Peay, mm-hmm. which is in Tennessee,
yep.
and a lot of the guys that came over with him. I mean, that, you know, these might be guys that grew up in that area that understand, you know, the passion for the Volunteers.
Yep.
And so I think this might just be a cool game for them to be like, you know, they probably grew up, you know, watching some of the, well, I was going to say, they probably didn't grow up in the time of the Tennessee Volunteers that I grew up in.
Yeah.
In the mid-90s.
No, so kids that have played a little of these days were born in 2000,
oh,
whatever.
Gosh.
Yeah, 2004.
But still, even when they weren't, you know, ranked wherever they are in the country right now, it was still a packed house. It was still obviously very important to that part of the country and part of the state.
And another thing I was just randomly thinking about, because people talk bad about Tennessee gaudy orange, including myself, but UTEP's used to orange, so maybe it won't be such an eyesore on them in the stadium, because I think that that is very distracting at times. But UTEP, you guys got it. It'll be great. Again, though, Volunteers, I think, probably take this game. Excited to see how Scotty Walden gets their kids going during that game, yep. though. And obviously, UTEP at this current moment, not fighting for a bowl team or not fighting for a conference championship berth either. So just go out and shock the world, Myers.
Why not
do it? Let's not do it. All right. And then after that, we have another conference game coming up again. This one doesn't really have a whole lot of weight as far as bowl game contention or Conference USA championship contention. However, this is still a conference game, New Mexico State at Middle Tennessee. What are we thinking about this one? It's at 1:30 p.m. Central Time on ESPN+.
I think beyond a couple of the games that we've already talked about, this should be, just from a pure competitiveness standpoint, I think this should be another one of our closest games of the weekend. I don't know that, there's a ton of separation, just matchup-wise or anything. I mean, these are just very different football teams. They've kind of had kind of roller coaster of a season, picking up a win here, there, dropping a couple here. But I think for a couple first-year head coaches and Tony Sanchez and Derek Mason, at this point in the year, you're just trying to, build a little momentum going into next year, trying to kind of identify some of the other guys on your roster that you're hopefully keeping for next year's team. So you're really just trying to, kind of put a bow on the season a little bit, end on a good note, go into the holidays, feeling good,
yeah.
Especially this one right before Thanksgiving. I expect the guys to be pretty, pretty fired up. And then FIU at Kennesaw State, we finished the, we finished our conference game slate at 2:00 Central on ESPN+. This is just kind of another interesting one. I think it's always just interesting when you have a first year school and you have one of our kind of perennial members that is going to that school. It's probably an opponent they haven't really played there before. Mm-hmm. And so you're just getting a new look at a new school, a new stadium, new fan base. But I really like FIU in this one. I think that they've kind of built a lot of confidence, even though the outcomes haven't gone their way in the last month or so. Again, we talked about how it's just not indicative of who they are as a team. I think they should go out there they're in a similar boat, right? You're trying to just, put a nice little bow on the season, kind of figure out your identity a little bit in these games that you feel like you should win. And then I think for Kennesaw State, unfortunately, not that that wasn't their only opportunity to go out there and play with a little extra fire after, the coaching change. I think that'll kind of still carry over into this week. They are at home. That's something that I know is very important to the Owl community. I think FIU gets back in the win column in this one.
I have to agree with you on that one. I agree with everything that Josh said, and we'll just move on because I don't have anything to add. So we wrap up the day with Louisiana Tech at Arkansas, 3 p.m. Central Time. That one's on SEC Network Plus, so that's ESPN+ for you guys that are out there wanting to find that game. We kind of alluded to this already, but Louisiana Tech can win this football game.
I think so. I mean, you're just kind of diving into this one a little bit more. They are our only team in contention for a bowl game. We have four that have already reached that 6-win plateau. They're sitting there at 4-6. They've got this Arkansas game, and then they play Kennesaw State in the final week of the season. So, obviously you look at this one, and on paper, you kind of start to sweat a little bit because it's like, oh, you got to play at an SEC school,
yeah.
Right? But like I mentioned earlier, Arkansas this season just, although they did beat Tennessee, going back to the Vols, this season, hasn't gone quite as planned for them. And we've seen that this defense is capable of locking down a Power 4 offense when they played NC State earlier this season. Just kind of having seen that, this one, it makes this one just a little bit more intriguing. I think for Louisiana Tech, the front seven has got to get pressure on the Hogs. They rank toward the bottom of FBS in sacks and tackles for loss. So, again, when you're just looking for any one of those matchups to really capitalize on, that might be one on the defensive side that they are able to kind of find some success in. And then Evan Bullock, he was still the third string quarterback when they played.
And so crazy to think about.
And he's a redshirt freshman. So this will really be his first time to go out there and lead the Bulldogs against a big time opponent. So really the question for him will be, you know, how does he handle that moment? Now, I don't know at this point in the year, with it being against Louisiana Tech, no disrespect to us, if, you know, and with the season kind of gone more or less for Arkansas, if it's going to be quite the environment that, you know, our road game and an SEC opponent would normally be. But I still think it is a little intimidating if you're a freshman to go out there and try and knock off an SEC team.
Yeah. But I mean, if anyone can do it, he's shown a lot of promise. And so we'll be rooting for the Bulldogs this weekend, because this game really does have a lot of weight on whether or not they can make it to a bowl game, which we are hoping for. So that's what we've got as far as previewing this weekend's games. Obviously, college football in general has been a lot of fun this year.
Yeah.
The 12-team playoff coming into the picture, it's like made college football a mess and in the best way. And it has trickled down to our conference as well. It is mess in the best way. And it is so much fun to watch. There's top five teams losing every weekend. There's top 10 teams losing every weekend. We have 16 championship scenarios going into the final 2 weeks of the season. So we're really excited to see how this weekend plays out. Do want to let you guys know that even though next week is Thanksgiving, we have decided that we will come in. I'm off all week long, but I just would miss you guys so much. So I'm going to come in. Josh and I are going to record an episode together on either Monday or Tuesday. We'll put it out before the Thanksgiving holiday gets underway. You can listen or watch while you're driving or flying to wherever it is that you're going for Thanksgiving. And we will be talking about either a championship that has already been decided who's going to be in it, or we're going to be talking about utter chaos. Yes. And so either one will be delightfully fun. And then the following week is championship week here for Conference USA. We will be going on site to somewhere to watch two teams compete. And we will be doing a podcast on site from wherever we are. So we're super excited to get that all set up. We're thinking, been talking to Dane about it. We're thinking like, you know, Pat McAfee-esque when he's like, you know, in the stadium. Yeah. And yeah, so it'll be fun. I'm super excited to see how we get that one set up. But we're going to keep coming at you with new episodes. We've been enjoying ourselves here. Just a reminder, if you would like to find us, you can find us on video on YouTube, find Conference USA's YouTube page. But if you like to listen audio only, we are still on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And then follow us over at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram so you never miss a new episode. And if you get the chance, go review us. Give us 5 stars if you like us. If you don't like us, tell us why before you go and give us 1 star. We don't need a negative rating on here, because you can actually email us if you have something to say. We have an email address that you can reach out to us at CUSAinsiderpod@conferenceusa.com. We check that regularly. So give us your recommendations, your questions, whatever you have, and we'll get back to you. But this has been a fun episode, and it's going to continue to be fun because, like we said, it's nutso in Conference USA with college football right now. And then we're going to have a volleyball champion at the end of this weekend as well. So lots of exciting stuff happening around here. We will see you guys again next week for an early week episode drop, not on a Thursday. So don't be on the lookout for it on Thanksgiving. But thank you all so much again for joining us today. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph. He's Josh Jonas. We're signing out.